Well, good morning, Burning Bush. For those of you watching online for the first time, I am not the pastor of the church, but I am humbled to be here this morning. And if you got your Bibles, I want you to go ahead and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let me set this up by saying we are living in some very, for a lot of us, some very scary times right now. We have the coronavirus. We have people who are losing jobs. This is impacting the income. The worldwide economy is struggling. It is natural. Hear me right now. If you're beating yourself up, it is absolutely human and natural for everyone to have some anxieties and some fears and some things that you are battling. But two things we are not to do as we're going through all of these things that are happening in our country right now. Number one, we don't live in denial and act as if it's not happening. That is not going to make anybody else's life better by us pretending that these things are not going on right now. Jesus is built for times like this. So Christians don't have to act like there's nothing going on. We have fears, we have concerns, we have worries like anyone else. And it's good for your neighbors who aren't believers, your co-workers, for them to see that God doesn't bypass Christians from dealing with things. He's just promised to be with us in the midst of those things. Y'all get that? We're not asking for God to make life easy for us because our salvation didn't come easy. We're asking for God to give us strength through all things so that we can make much of Him. And then secondly, we're to not live our lives paralyzed by fear. By fear. Matter of fact, on that word fear is what I want to focus on this morning. There's a fear that can be your strength, and there's a fear that can be your absolute weakness. And we have got to determine which one we are walking in. My sons have a healthy fear that they know if they go near the road, they're going to have to deal with daddy. You ain't going near that road or there's going to be a price to pay. And that fear probably means a spanking. That's right. I said spanking, Pastor. I spank my kids. And don't tell me how to raise mine unless you want to feed them and they eat a lot. And so there's a healthy fear that my kids have if they go near the road. It's because I love them. And that car coming down the road might look like a giant Hot Wheel, but that car can crush my little babies. And that ain't going to happen. That would be the worst day of my life. But I don't want my boys to have this fear that every time they come near me, that they're scared of me. Like, Dad's going to hurt me because I laugh. No. So listen to this. Listen to this quote by Charles Spurgeon. I've been on this Charles Spurgeon kick lately. I've been reading all of his sermons, sermons that were printed, sermons that weren't, all of his books, everything. And he made an amazing quote about what I would like to call misplaced fear, wrongly placed fear, the kind of fear we should not walk in, especially as believers. Listen to this. He said, fear is believing a promise or a threat coming from a source other than God. I'm going to say that again. He goes, this is Charles Spurgeon. He goes, this is a wrong kind of fear. He goes, this kind of fear is a fear is believing a promise or a threat coming from a source other than God. We obviously know there were certain type of fears and threats. When God told Pharaoh to let his people go, he was saying, look, you better do this. That was a threat to him. If you don't do this, I'm going to do this. But it came from God. He came from God. So he was saying, look, there's a fear that is not healthy. If we're listening, if we're believing all these promises and all these things that aren't coming from scriptures, guys, hear me. I'm going to lay this foundation before we even dig in 2 Timothy. There is nothing this world can do to take away our foundation and our faith if you are in Christ. Even if the economy is booming again and there's no more virus and we're making more money than we need, we got more stuff, we can go boat and fish and shop and do all these wonderful things, you're going to die one day. You're still going to get old and die. 10 out of 10 people die. So even if the economy is booming, the one thing it can't stop is death. It can't stop. Even if there's no more virus and we can all come outside and play again, it ain't going to make you live forever. And so Jesus is trying to focus on what's eternal. So if you got your Bibles, look at me here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you don't have any background in the church, let me help you out. Apostle Paul, he probably, outside of Jesus, it's easy for Christians to say, he is probably the most influential human being to ever walk the planet apart from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 3/4 of the entire New Testament is either written by him or about his life. So this guy has influence and power, but he made some colossal decisions and mistakes, and I'm sure there were times in his life where he's faced fear. He was always running for his life. He was being stoned and shipwrecked. And just because you have faith in God doesn't mean that's minus of fear. Just because you struggle and suffer well for the Lord, that means he's not human. He was not in his glorified heavenly body. Surely there were times where he faced fear. So now he's talking to his young pupil, mentor, Timothy. And Timothy's dealing with troubles in the church. He's dealing with persecution outside of the church. This is new. Timothy was also biracial. He was part Jew, part Greek. And then you got this amazing man of God. I don't have an equivalent of him today, but just say, for instance, Billy Graham was passing the mantle to you. How intimidating would that be for Dr. Billy Graham to go, you know what, I've taken this as far as I can, and God told me you're next in line. So Timothy has all these pressures on him. And then Apostle Paul's going to talk to Timothy because Timothy was dealing with a lot of fear, the way maybe a lot of you are, a lot of us are. I'm right there in the boat with you. Yes, this preacher. I'm right there with you guys. So listen to what he says here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He said, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. He's already letting everyone know what he is. I'm an apostle of Jesus. That's his way of saying, I am here to serve the cause of Jesus. He didn't say, Paul, I got an awesome ministry. I've shaken off vipers. I've been around the world. You notice how the thing that he says, he goes, I'm Paul, an apostle of Jesus. He's making sure nobody would start some occult around him. I am not the Savior. I can share the gospel with you, but I can't save any of you. Jesus, he goes, I am just an apostle. No, he didn't start, he could have easily had a mega ministry, write a new book every month for Lifeway. I'm Paul, I got a mega ministry, follow me, I'm a rock star. He always, always projected fame and glory where it belonged to Jesus. He goes, I am just Paul. I know what I am? I'm an apostle of Jesus. Before any of y'all start following me and thinking that I'm the cure to your fears, what ails you, your finances, your marriage, your body, you want to lose weight, you drink some green smoothie, whatever you want to do. Paul's making it clear that they knew he is not the source. Christ is. I'm just Paul, an apostle of whom? Of Jesus Christ. By the will of God, according to the promise that is in Christ Jesus, he goes to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus Lord. Timothy was not his child, but he was spiritually speaking, a word of endearment. To him, Timothy was his spiritual child. And when you call someone a child, he's making it clear you don't know everything. He's still my child. You may think you know everything, but you don't. So he's telling Timothy, you are my beloved child. It's a word of endearment, but it's also letting Timothy know you haven't arrived yet. Because Timothy was dealing with fear and a lot of other things that can cripple us. Hear me on this. If you don't get a right understanding of how to deal with this fear we're talking about, it could absolutely hurt your walk with Christ. But if you get a proper view of it, it can be a blessing. What's happening right now with all this stuff going on around the world can actually be a blessing for the church. All that stuff people used to rely on, their 401k, money, stuff, you know, tons of toys, RVs, stuff. All of a sudden, that stuff's on a lockdown. All of a sudden, what did people have to hope in? Because they put all their hope in their jobs, their retirement, their money, stock market. When that's gone, what else do you have to live for? Well, Christians shouldn't be. Yeah, we should be concerned right now like everyone else, but we shouldn't be completely overwhelmed. Because our joy comes from more than our empty bank accounts. Even if we lose all the stuff in the world, we haven't lost our salvation. They can take our house, our car, our job, our stuff, but one way or another, I'm going to die, and I can't take that with me anyway. And what's waiting for me in heaven is far more glorious than any possessions I got on the earth. My house is nice, but compared to what Jesus said, he said, I go to prepare a place for you like a mansion. My house ain't no mansion. It ain't probably nothing compared to what Jesus has waiting for me. So listen to what he says here. Verse 3, I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, and I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Timothy's dealing with fears. You know, Paul says here, he goes, the main way I'm helping you, Timothy, is I'm remembering you in my prayers night and day. If you're stressing out with the coronavirus right now and your work, hey, I'm right there with you. I need crowds to do what I do. So if there's no crowd, I can't work. Most of my work has been canceled because churches can't have 200 people in the building. So I'm right there with you with anxieties, but ultimately, God is, he's faithful, and he's promised to take care of my needs. He didn't promise to give me a flat screen in every room, which I have. I didn't need that. God didn't promise, and I'm surely not lacking a meal. Look at that gut, y'all. That's right. I eat. I'm not lacking food. I got more than enough food, and I got enough toilet paper. That's right. I threw that out there for y'all. Y'all listen to this. He goes, the one thing he does for Timothy is he prays for him night and day. He goes, and I remember your tears. I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. He was saying during this difficult time that even Paul was facing, being persecuted, not knowing when his life was going to be taken away from him. He was letting Timothy know, you think you have some fears, Timothy? Every day I'm facing them. Every day somebody's trying to kill me for preaching the gospel. But you know what? I take joy in fellowship with the believers. Come on, do you right now? Life's hard right now, and I know we can't gather, but there ain't nothing out there that says thou shalt not call a friend. You can text, folks. Now's the time to put all that technology that we like to use that drives us crazy when life's going normal. Texting, doing conversations, call. Now's the time for you to use some of that. Do you take joy in that the economy may be struggling and the virus is everywhere, but or do we take delight in one another, knowing that I got brothers and sisters out there in the faith and that we can encourage each other in Christ during this pandemic that's going on around the world, knowing that God is greater than the coronavirus. I know that's hard for some people to hear, but he is. And we can all sit here and kumbaya and talk about how horrible it is, but is that going to change it? Or we can talk about what we do have. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Faith isn't faith until you need it. Everybody can think they love Jesus. You don't really know until you're faced with adversity. I don't care. You can preach all you want, quote me scriptures, go to seminary, be a Sunday school teacher, be sweet, moral. That's wonderful. I love you. But you'll never really know where your faith is until it's needed. Let me see a loved one get sick, get cancer. Let me see the coronavirus come. Let me see your 401 begin to tank and your retirement. Now your response shows you, was it really Jesus or was it really stuff? See, a lot of people mistake wanting Jesus for wanting a genie. A lot of people just want somebody to give them a lot of toys and put them on a shelf. Now we get to see, is Lord, long as I, are you really the greatest thing in my life? Or is it really all of these toys and stuff? Y'all, I've had to face it, and I saw that I wasn't nearly as faithful and as on fire as even as I thought I was. I got nervous when all these jobs got canceled, and that's okay. But I began to realize, wait a minute, Lord, you're still faithful. Listen to this. Oh, y'all, I promise this is good. This is good stuff, brother. Listen to this. He goes, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. Women were not mentioned at this time. It doesn't mention a father. It doesn't mention a grandmother. It mentions his mom and his grandmother. Women were nominal at best. But somehow, those women found that they weren't even allowed to go into the synagogues to hear the word. So how did they know it? It says that his mom and grandmother wanted, they so hungered for Jesus, they found a way to get that word. They found a way to learn about Jesus. Not only did they learn about the word, they poured it into Timothy. They were so hungry in the midst of persecution. The church was new, it was being persecuted. Women were nominal, not on top of Christianity was new, you were being slaughtered for being a Christian. And if you're a woman and a Christian, ooh, those were not good times. Women were supposed to be quiet, be submissive, don't talk. You're not supposed to be educated or anything. So they found a way to learn the word and then teach it to young Timothy. Through all the persecution, you don't think these ladies had fear every day? If they got caught teaching him the word, they would have been stoned to death. But his mother and his grandmother, against all odds, some of you ladies think you're facing hard times today. It ain't nothing compared to what these women had to go through. They had no voice, no power, no vote. They weren't even supposed to be learned. They found a way to learn the word and to teach it to young Timothy. And Paul said it was their faith. He was reminding Timothy, all these fears you're dealing with, your grandmother and your mother got through all their fears. I'm sure they had a ton of them. And they got through it by putting their faith in Jesus. He's saying, Timothy, what do you think's going to help you? What do you think's going to help me? That the fact that we can preach, we can sing, the fact that we're good businessmen, I don't care how awesome you are, all this virus has done is exposed to us how fragile and how not in control we all really are. Americans love to be in control. We want to be in control of everything. What we eat, what we do, where we go back. That's what we love. We're American. We control the narrative. And this virus has humbled us all and said, look, you ain't controlling anything. Even billionaires are locked in their big old mansions right now, y'all. Billionaires. All that money, yacht stuff. They can't cure this virus right now. It's humbling. It put us all on the same level, Phil, and showed us how fragile we are. That's actually a beautiful place to be. When you realize there's only so much you can do in your humanness, maybe it'll make us think, well, is there really something greater than us? Because people are fragile. We're a couple viruses and cancers away from being yesterday's news. Lord, please don't. How am I supposed to worship a man when he's as fragile as I am? He can get coronavirus as quick as I can. How is he going to cure me? He can't cure himself. It makes me go, wow, thank God I'm not putting my faith in people. That there's a God of mine who ain't shaking up in glory. Heaven's not sitting up there going, uh-oh, we can't go worship God today because of the coronavirus. They're worshiping God right now. And no virus on this earth is stopping God from getting his glory. Because he is majestic and forever in control and holy and righteous. And that gives me peace knowing that I may be shaking right now on what's going on, but my God's in perfect control. In perfect control. And wherever you are, you watching, I want you to give me an amen right there because that's good preaching. All right, let's keep going here. He goes, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now he's going to tell him this is not a right view of fear. He goes, Timothy, this is not the type of fear. But listen to what he says. He goes, for God has not given us a spirit of fear or of timidity, the fear that cripples you. Remember, I talked about there's a healthy fear that every person needs. But he goes, this ain't the kind of fear, Timothy, the kind of fear that keeps you crippled, that won't allow you to go tell anyone the gospel, the kind of fear that makes you not want to suffer. Yes, we're going to suffer, Americans. We're not, our comfort's not helping us right now. But God's been so good to us. Is he not worth a little suffering? Yes, I've lost some paychecks. Maybe you have too. But is it pale in comparison to God lost his son? He gave everything up for me. This is going to eventually pass. I don't know when, but it ain't going to last my whole lifetime. God gave everything he had in Jesus. God can never top Jesus Christ. He will never be able to give you anything greater than Christ. And if you can't find any joy right now, even through this virus, in Jesus, then God knows if he helps the coronavirus, they find a vaccine for it or a cure, or you get your job back with a promotion, God knows that ultimately that won't satisfy you either. If I can't be satisfied knowing that he's given me Jesus, it's Jesus plus 401k, Jesus plus children, Jesus plus I got to get pregnant, Jesus plus the virus has to be healed, Jesus plus, God said, I can't add anything to Jesus. I can't give you anything more than Christ. And Paul is saying that to Timothy. God can never, yes, there's persecution going on, Timothy. You might even lose your life. You might even lose your life. But God lost his too. He emptied himself, not out for a couple weeks, a couple months, maybe like this virus. He completely emptied himself till he had nothing else to give. God can never top Jesus. So if we can't find any joy in Christ right now through this adversity, then God knows that my joy was never in him in the first place. It was in all this other stuff I had that I mistook for my joy in Christ. That I mistook for my joy. Because once the stuff is taken away, if my joy is gone, then God's going, your joy is never really in me. It was in your truck. It was in your house, your fishing rods, your purses, your trips, your vacations, your toys, your RV. You just thought your joy was really in me. So all this virus is doing, it's healthy for the church. It's exposing a lot of us where our joy really was. And that's hard. I know that's hard to hear, but it is for me too. Because God's been providing for me all these years, and I had the audacity to get scared and go, Lord, what's going to happen now? He's going, boy, where do you think you got that gut around your belly? I've been feeding you. That house you're living in, who you think got you that? Who's been paying that mortgage? You think that's because you can preach? But where he goes, I got children who can preach circles around you. God said, don't you think for a second I have ever been unfaithful to my children. I have been so faithful that most of my children need to join a gym and get a treadmill. because they've had way more than what they needed, and all he promised you was to feed, clothe, and shelter you. He didn't promise you vacation homes, 2-3 cars, more food than you needed. He promised to just take care of your needs, and he's went far exceedingly above all of that. And how quickly we forget when adversity hits. All of a sudden, God ain't good now because some adversity has hit. Thank God that when adversity hit Jesus in that garden, y'all, come on. In that garden, it started in the Garden of Eden, where there was deception, disobedience. They wanted to be like God, and they took of that fruit. But Jesus ended it in another garden. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, God, if there's any way this cup can pass me, but nevertheless, Lord, nevertheless, your will be done and not mine. Now, when it got hard, the Lord stood in even stronger. The harder it got, it seems like the more resolved he was to bring healing to his people and salvation. Thank God when it got hard, he didn't say, I can't die for these fools now. Oh, man, I see what I'm going to go through. It ain't worth all of that. They're going to beat me, pluck my beard out. They're going to strip me and humiliate me, put me at the highest place of the city between 2 thieves. They put Jesus in that highest place to say he's the worst kind of scum society has to offer. So that when people came in the city, they always knew whoever that person is in the high in the middle, that means he was the worst sinner of his day. He went from never sinning to being called the worst kind of sinner of his day. Who do you think he went through all that for? Who y'all think he went through all of that for? For you and I. And he says, Father, I gladly will take this cup. And Hebrews goes on to say, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Whoever endured the cross with joy, Jesus? Why? Because the very cross he died on, he created. He created the very trees that they made the cross out of. He wasn't passionate about 2 pieces of wood. He was passionate, ladies and gentlemen, about you and I. People, human beings were that precious to him. That he was willing to say, yes, it's hard times right now, and it'd be easy for me to bounce and say, forget these people, die for themselves. But he knew we'd be hopeless. And then last, listen to this. I'm not going to get very far in my message and my points. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power to overcome the enemy. Love, because the Bible says love never fails. He's letting us know, I'm not telling, it's like somebody telling you to go do something, but they don't give you the weapons to do it. So it tells Timothy, instead of having fear, God's going to replace fear with power, because the enemy does have power. You can't go out here and think you're going to change people's lives without the Holy Spirit empowering you. He goes, he wants you to change the world, make disciples, but you're powerless to do it. He's letting Timothy know, you can't overcome anything apart from God. That fear you're dealing with will be here next year if you think that you can chant enough, watch enough Oprah shows, or whoever, Dr. Phil, whoever's your floats your boat. He's saying that stuff will never, ever fully ease your fears and anxieties, Timothy. But I will always be there even when the next fear rolls around. Y'all notice when I said that. This fear will someday pass, the coronavirus, but it don't mean you'll never have another fear the rest of your life. Now it's going to cause people to be fearful to ever spend. What if something happens again? I'm going to hold on to my stuff. It's going to create a new kind of fear. Once it's over and it's cured, it'll be a new kind of fear. Will people really sow into the economy? Will they invest? And this is his way of saying to Timothy, even when the next fear arises, God still will have power to even overcome that one. And he'll have fear to overcome the next one after that. And the next one after that. So you don't have to worry, Timothy. You don't have the power to overcome anything. Christ does. You can't overcome a thing. You couldn't save yourself. You couldn't lift a pinky finger. You can't feed your children. You can't be a good business owner. You can't be a good pastor. You can't be a good husband, mother, father, child. You are powerless. You were born into sin. But Christ has the power to do all things. Christ is the power. He is the power. He's always been the power. He will always be the power. Bring on the next virus, the next whatever. He is the power. He's greater than the coronavirus. He's greater than. He is just greater than. Church, he's greater than. Rejoice. It can't do anything but kill us. But killing me sends me to glory. We have lost all things. We're already dead men walking. He has taken what was dead and risen it to life. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer me. I don't need anything. I got Jesus. He's given me everything. As long as I got that hope, then I can still have joy to tell my neighbor, I know the economy's crashing, but guess what? He's still a good God. I know your job's uncertain, but listen to me. He's a good God. I know you know someone that has the virus, but listen to me. He's a good God. I don't know when it's going to end, but I know his mercies never end. Come on, y'all. Come on. He's given us power, love. Because y'all know when fear comes in, it exposes people's hearts. People do a lot of ugly things when they think stuff's going to be taken away from them. They start to steal. They buy more toilet paper than they need. More food than they need because all they're thinking about is their family. They ain't thinking about anybody else. They didn't buy all that extra stuff in case the neighbors needed some. See, fear exposes what our hearts are really like and how selfish we can be. See, folk went in there and bought out the grocery store, not so they can go bless their whole neighborhood, so they can cram that somewhere in a room in their house. Because we ain't going to bless anybody with that because that's the American way. You don't believe me? They're doing reality shows right now called Storage Wars. This is where people put all their stuff in storage units. That means they got so much stuff, they ain't going to give it to you, though. They'll let it collect dust in a storage unit before they give it to you. All that stuff we could be blessing people with, but instead it's ours. It's mine. As if we did anything to earn any of that. Listen to this. Power, love, and self-control. God's given us self-control so that we won't become like the very people he wants us to reach. How am I going to reach anyone when I'm wilding out just like they are? I'm panicking just like they are. God's saying, look, I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you love, and I'm going to give you self-control. I'm going to pop. Paul's saying, look, Timothy, I'm not that awesome. God has given me all those things. I would be freaking out. I wouldn't want to go through all this persecution. I wouldn't want to love people who are constantly trying to kill me. It isn't because of me. It's because of Christ. See, Apostle Paul was letting them know there are some chains that are more powerful than physical chains. Apostle Paul was in physical chains, but this man was not in spiritual bondage. The worst bondage a person can be in is spiritually. That's the worst thing that can happen to someone. Diseases, viruses can eventually find cures and get healed. But Paul understood, Timothy, don't be looking with your natural eye. I know you're scared and there's a lot of things to fear, but what you really should fear is what he, matter of fact, real quick, if y'all got, I can get through this last verse. Oh, this is so good. Luke chapter 12. Go with me. Go back to Luke. And then this is where I'm going to close. Oh, this is better than hot Krispy Kreme sign. And I didn't think there could be much better than hot Krispy Kreme sign. Don't be praying for my thyroid glands, people. I didn't get this big because I got a thyroid problem. I like to eat. That's right. Pray for some self-control because he said he'd give us self-control, and that's what I need. Listen to this. Luke 12, verse 4. He goes, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who can kill the body. And after nothing more they can do. He goes, but I warn you on whom to fear. This is a healthy fear. Fear whom after he is killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are more valuable than any sparrows. He goes, now, this is the kind of fear that leads to salvation. He goes, don't just fear that who can destroy the body, but rather the one who can destroy the body and the soul. Don't fear Wall Street and your bank. All they can do is take away your money, but they can't take away your life and your soul. He goes, here's a healthy fear. Timothy, don't let that fear paralyze you and keep you from being a soldier of the cross and of the gospel. But do have a healthy fear of a God who created everything. But the only thing he died for is people. Come on, y'all. Fear God who created everything. But the only thing he created in his image is people. And the only thing he died for is people. So if that's true, then it says to me, God placed nothing in the world more valuable than human beings. If he was willing to send Jesus to die for us, what else will he not do for us? If he's willing to crush his own son for our sins, I need to fear that God who's that powerful. If he's willing to sacrifice his son, how will he not help me rebound after the coronavirus? Come on, y'all. If he's willing to go through that for me, then that's the God I want to fear. If he's willing to put Jesus through all of that for my redemption, if he's willing to go through that such a price to save my soul from hell, then how will he not help my finances get back to where they need to be? How will he not help me rebound? This should be a time, church, where we rally with each other. In the early church, there were times where when they lacked, it says that people gave, they all gave from what they had. And it's a wonderful time for us to practice that, y'all. You might have way more than you need, and this virus ain't hurting you at all. You got a great retirement, tons of money. You got enough money to live the next 10, 20 years. Maybe your neighbors can only make it 2-3 months. This is time for the church to get to be the church. And don't be expecting Trump and the government to be sending out checks to bail us out. There's still enough money in Christendom for us to go feed a single mom right now. There's still enough money in Christendom for us to put some shoes on a little. While school is out and some of these kids who can't eat, there's still enough money in the church for us to make sure they ain't a starving child in the state of Georgia. Don't you wait for no Governor Kemp to say, let's feed people. The church needs to be rallying. There shouldn't be an old person, a senior citizen, whatever you want to call them, in this state. Even if their kid, they don't have kids and their kids grow, that shouldn't be getting some love right now because there's enough people in the body to make sure that not one elderly person goes hungry. There's enough of us. If we remember that God's the one who showed us how to do that first, that he so loved the world that he gave his only son. See, God's the one to help us overcome our fear. It's in giving that we overcome all things. When we give of ourselves and lay ourselves down. Paul, the apostle of Jesus, he's letting Timothy know, the main way I deal with fear is I serve Jesus. And serving God, it keeps me from thinking about myself all the time. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you, Lord, that we can cast all our cares and anxieties on you because you care for us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the cross. We thank you for a God who, when it got hard and it got difficult, it was scary that he refused to give up on us and that he dug in all the more. And the same way Paul challenged Timothy in these scary times that Timothy was in, it was very scary times. Christians were being slaughtered, left and right like animals. And he told Timothy, hunker down, young man. Serve Jesus. Don't walk in the fear of the world. God is greater than all things. This is what every pastor across this country needs to be telling their people. Don't panic. God has gotten us through greater things even than this. World wars, all kinds of things. We will overcome this at some point. It's a great chance for the church to be the church and to bless our communities. If you have and others lack, then bless them and show the goodness of the Lord. But don't you wave any flags yet. Our God has never abandoned his people, and he never will. He is faithful even when we are unfaithful. God is true, and he is a promise keeper. Let us not believe the promises and the threats coming from someone other than God. Lord, you're faithful and true. Bless anyone listening to your word this morning. Help those dealing with fear and anxiety. Lord, may we not just sit and pray for people. May we also go and feed our neighbors. Take care of people. Listen to the government. Keep our distance and all these things. But they're not stopping us from serving people. There's no law that says I shall not love my neighbor. That's on me. Father, write your law on our hearts so that we won't sin against you. If you're here this morning, you're listening to me, and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, there are scarier times coming than the coronavirus. There's going to come a time when this sweet, gracious, blessed, patient Jesus will say, enough! Enough of you guys wounding each other. Enough sin, enough pain. But thank God it's not right now. He's still pouring out his mercy, his grace, and his forgiveness toward anyone who would repent of their sins. Will you repent this morning and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and rejoice that no matter what happens with this world and this economy, there's a better place waiting for you in glory with Jesus himself. We love you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. It's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. And all of God's people say it. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you.